The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to those who had gathered, "You have heard that it was said of those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with the accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said of those in ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. As some of you may remember, when I was in college, I spent 2 summers working at Lutheridge, the Lutheran camp just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and I was a counselor there. And when you're a counselor, every single week you do something different. You're with a different age group of kids, or sometimes you may be sent somewhere else in the southeast to serve. You may just stay on camp and, you know, pick up trash and help clean up dishes for a week. That also means that you're going to get a different set of campers every single week. Sometimes you have great cabins and the kids all get along and they all want to be there and it's fabulous. Isn't that right? Sometimes, yeah, not so much. You cannot wait for Saturday to come to ship these children back to their parents. I remember one such week. It was a confirmation camp. And the thing is, when kids come for confirmation, many of them have to be there. They don't go to Lutheridge because they want to be there. They go because mom and daddy made them go. Now, granted, along about Tuesday, even most of those kids decide that they want to be there. And so everything's wonderful, and it's a great week. But I had one such camper. We'll call him Kevin, because that's his name. And he came from the inner city of Durham, North Carolina. And at the beginning of every week, you sit down and you talk about the rules, you know? And what they taught us in orientation was the best way to set the rules for the week is just to ask the kids to set the rules. Because chances are they'll hit pretty much all of them and you can just fill in the rest. And it worked. Week after week after week, it worked like a charm. So this one week with Kevin, he came up with his rule: don't hit. Okay, that sounds like a good one. I'm all in favor of not hitting other people. And so that became the one rule that he actually could and did follow throughout the week. The rest of them, out the window. We're supposed to walk on the trails, you know, to keep from erosion from happening. This kid was all off in the woods. You know, you were supposed to sit quietly when teachers were talking. Oh, no, he couldn't do that. He asked for saying nice words about other people. That certainly wasn't going to happen, much less clean words about other people. That one wasn't going to happen either. Well, it got to the point that I kind of gave up on him following rules because all I wanted him to do was just be able to go home in one piece. He was frustrated and I was frustrated, but that all came to a head one day when he got into sort of a picking match with one of the other counselors. And he took the counselor's hat and threw it in the mud and stomped on it. And so the counselor took his hat, picked it up, and tossed it, and it got a little bit of dirt on it. And so Kevin decided he was going to go home right then. Not wait on his mother to get there from Durham. He was walking home. And so I had to follow him all the way down the mountain. Well, down the Lutheridge Mountain. I didn't, like, go down Asheville's mountain. Until it hit the major highway. At which time, there were certain rules about not touching campers that I had to break. Because I had to hold this kid in place for about half an hour so he didn't literally run away all the way back to Durham. Just because he couldn't follow the rules. You know, gotta be honest with you. I kind of understand where he was coming from. Because rules are not fun to follow, are they? I mean, from the time we're little, people have been giving us rules. Keep your room clean. Put your clothes, dirty clothes, in the hamper. Raise your hand before you talk in class. Sit in your desk. Stay in your desk. Ask to go to the bathroom. Go straight to the bathroom and come straight back. You know, and then as you get older, the rules kind of change a little bit. Put the toilet seat down. Pick the toilet seat up. Ask before you go anywhere. Drive the speed limit reasonably. You know, show up to work on time. Do what you're supposed to do. That's kind of a big one, pretty much anywhere, right? Do what you're supposed to do. That fits into faith too, doesn't it? Do what you're supposed to do. It covers all the rules. All the rules of Christianity can be summed up in one. Do what you're supposed to do. Because we know that there are all kinds of rules. Of course, there's the Big Ten, right? The Ten Commandments. Anybody can name them? I thought so. You know them all, though. I mean, you know, don't kill, don't steal, honor your father and mother. I'm the Lord your God in no such order. Don't covet this or that. You know, tell the truth. All those things, right? And then there are, and I misquoted last week. I gave the wrong number. Mr. Hugh corrected me. 613 mitzvah. Those are all of the other rules found in the Bible that the Jews follow. It includes all of the dietary rules. It includes what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath. It breaks down, you know, keeping the Sabbath holy. It's all of these things that a good Jew does. 613 of them, and that is the law. So when you see the law in Scripture, the Jews were not just thinking of the Ten Commandments like we usually think of. Oh, no. They were talking about all 613 of them. And each one was equally as important as the next. And so they carried out their faith by following the rules. If you followed the rules, you were faithful. If you didn't follow the rules, you were a sinner. You were not faithful. And here's the reality. We've taken that same line of thinking and moved it into Christianity, haven't we? A good Christian follows the rules. A good Christian does what he or she is supposed to do. That's what makes a good Christian, right? And that's what we hear in today's gospel reading. Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so then he goes through, this is the Sermon on the Mount, and that's the part that we had last week. And then he goes through and he picks some examples. The first one is the big one, right? The one that we know is the mother of all sins. Do not kill people. Would we all agree that that's probably one that we should not do the most? Yes. That's also the one that our civic laws agree. That's the mother of all sins, is killing people. So, if you don't kill people, check. Good for us. Excellent job, everyone, I hope. If not, don't tell me. So, that's number one. Number two, don't commit adultery. Okay? That's something we can not do. Hopefully. Great. And then, number three. Now we start getting into this sticky situation. But to be fair, he's not talking about anybody here, because he says, if you get a divorce, you got to have a certificate of divorce. Because divorce for them was very different. Divorce back in their day was people were just throwing their wives out. And remember, their wives were basically property. And so they had no source of income, no anything. And so they would just cut them free. Get out. You burn my dinner. And so Moses said, nope, you got to go through a little bit more than that. You got to have a certificate of divorce. I don't know what that means, but you had to have a certificate of divorce saying, you know, you had to give rightful cause. And then he concludes by saying, you've heard it said that you shouldn't lie when you swear before God. That's another, okay? We can check that one off too, hopefully, right? Because usually when we want people to know that we're telling the truth, what do we say? I swear to God. Some people don't do that. They'll say, I promise on our love, or I swear, or I swear on my mother's grave. Okay? All the same thing. It says, don't lie. Okay? These are all things that we could potentially just put check marks to. Didn't do it, didn't do it, didn't do it, didn't do it, right? That's awesome. Because that way, if we're following the rules of Judaism, we're doing good so far. But then Jesus had to keep on talking. Because Jesus says, you've heard it said, you shall not kill. But I say, anyone who gets angry with his brother or sister has already committed murder. Uh-oh. And if you call your sister a brother or sister a fool, then you are condemned to the fires of hell. Uh-oh. This just got a lot harder, didn't it? And then he goes and talks about adultery. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you that anybody who has lust in her heart, like his or her heart, like Jimmy Carter, is condemned as well. And anybody who marries someone who's been divorced, oh wait, no, that's the divorce part. Then he goes to divorce. He says that anybody, if a divorced woman gets remarried, she's committed adultery. And if you marry a woman who's been divorced, then you're committing adultery. Well, that just got a lot more challenging, didn't it? Because now the woman is just out in la-la land. She can't have another husband because that's committing adultery. Now we're in bad shape. And then finally, this one's a little bit easier. He says, don't swear on anything. Just tell the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So when you say yes, that means you swear it. When you say no, that means you swear it, because you're telling the truth. You shouldn't have to add extra things on there just so people know that you're being honest. You shouldn't have to put extra things on there so that you will be honest. Yes or no? Tell the truth. And so what we have now as Christians is rules that are basically impossible for us to follow. Right? Because we're starting to feel real uncomfortable about now. Because, no, we probably haven't killed anybody, but is there anybody here that has never gotten angry with somebody before? Anybody here that hadn't called somebody a name? Didn't think so. Is there anybody here that hasn't looked lustfully at another person? You don't have to raise your hand for that one. But I didn't think so. And then we have folks that deal with divorce. People throughout the history of Christianity have loved to raise these passages up and beaten them over the head with that. And then how many of you here have not told a lie? George Washington? Anyone? Anyone? So where does that leave us? We're in trouble, huh? Because we can't follow the rules. But you see, I think what Jesus is pointing out to us is that faith isn't about being rule followers. It's about being Christ followers. And there's a big difference. Because being a rule follower means that we're just trying to check something off a list. That we're doing something just so that we can say, well, I'm good. I'm a good, righteous person because I haven't done that, and I have done this, and I haven't done that, and I haven't done this, but, you know, I've done what I'm supposed to do, and I haven't done what I'm not supposed to do. But see, that's not what our faith is. Because the reality is, we can never be good enough. Look, I've been with you 4 years. It's time that I make a confession. I'm not perfect. I know that shocks a lot of you, but it's true. I'm a sinful, sinful person. As we all are. But you see, because our faith isn't about following rules, it's about following Jesus. It's about following the one who came to this world and gave his life for us. It's about following the one who says, you know what? I know you're not perfect. I know you're a fallen, broken sinner. And because of that, I'm going to give my life for you. That's who we follow. Now, that doesn't mean that we just ignore all the rules. It means that we try to live them out. Which means that if you look at the first one, when you get angry, work out the relationship because relationships matter. Do you know why we share the peace every Sunday morning? Most people think that it's just sort of a time to greet each other. That's not it. If that was the case, we would just say hi. How you doing? The reason that we share the peace be with you, peace be with you, is because before we come to the altar, we are making peace with our brother or sister. And so, my friends, if there is anyone within this congregation that you have a beef with, you need to fix that before worship even starts. You need to greet them, peace be with you. Work that out. Because as Christians, as followers of Jesus, relationships matter. And that begins with forgiveness. And so do marriage relationships. They matter. That's the next two things. When he talks about adultery and not divorce, look, relationships matter. Family relationships matter. Be faithful to the people that you're supposed to be faithful to. And you know what? It also means that Jesus didn't intend for people to get divorced. And I can assure you, anybody who's been through that will tell you, it's not a fun trip. So many times people have described it to me as going through a death. This isn't what Jesus intended. Sometimes it's necessary, without a doubt. Sometimes the brokenness is just too broken. But that's not what God intends for any of us. And it's not what we intended either. How many brides and grooms do you think stand up going, wow, I can't wait to get divorced? None of them. That's not what God's plan is either. And we're called to be honest. It's not that hard. Just tell the truth. Sometimes it comes with consequences. And I'm not saying that you tell the truth like, Do you like my new haircut? You sometimes can be nice, but be honest. Let people know that when you're speaking to them, that you're being honest with them. You see, our faith is not about following a bunch of rules. Therefore, it's not about beating up a bunch of people when they're not following the rules. Our faith is about following Jesus, and that means we're called to love. And if we are loving, if we're loving God, if we're loving our neighbor, and we're loving ourselves, the rules don't really matter. Amen.